Center for Inclusive Childcare welcomes you to Inclusion Matters. We share resources and information to support quality childcare for all children. By partnering with early childhood professionals, parents, grandparents, and other caregivers, we work together to help every young child thrive. Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast from the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Priscilla Weigel, the Executive Director, and I'm happy today to welcome a guest that is going to be really interesting, I know, for a lot of you out there providing care to children. Her name is Lene Jacobs, and she works for the Minnesota Department of Children, Youth, and Families, and she is the Provider Support Specialist for the Child Care Assistance Program. Welcome, Lene.
Thank you, Priscilla. Glad to be here.
I'm really excited about our conversation because it's going to just hopefully inform a lot of folks out there who may have some questions about CCAP, child care assistance, and that special needs rate. And I think it's we want to make sure people are understanding it so they can access it and use it and try to get that support that's available through our state. So let's just jump right in. And can you tell us what is a special needs rate?
Well, special needs rate is basically a higher child care assistance payment that may be approved for a child who needs more care than other children the same age due to a disability special need. It has to be a documented disability, so there has to be some assessments and things of that nature as well.
That would be helpful to define what disability is. And that's interesting. I'm glad you highlighted the fact, too, that it has to be documented, because I think there's a lot of challenges out there related to behaviors that challenge us as adults and things that people might think qualify. So yes, let's go through what counts as a disability.
Perfect. Sure. So not just a physical, a lot of times we don't think about it being, you know, we can see the disability, but of course there's behavioral, emotional, social. Disability is really defined as anything physical or medical that limits a child's ability to walk, talk, see, hear, breathe, learn or manage behavior. So such as self-regulation, things of that nature, cognitive, think, right? Just our ability to think. So there's a wide range of special needs.
And if a provider has a question about, and a family has a question about whether or not their child's disability would qualify, they could just reach out to all of you and you could help them determine that and find that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If they have questions, they can go to our DCYF's Child Care Support Specialist website or call us. And absolutely, we can answer any of those questions. The point of entry for the system is with the family's worker at the CCAP agency that they're eligible through. But we sure can give them a heads up on whether or not this may or may not be something that is applicable for them.
That's great. That's super helpful. So when you think about who can qualify, how does that whole process work? Can you walk us through the qualifying for that special needs rate?
Absolutely. So first of all, the family does already need to be eligible through the CCAP, eligibility system. And it would be through the local CCAP agency. They would have a worker assigned, and then they would have a provider in mind. They can already be an approved provider or someone that they need to add later. But they would start with filling out a form that is available through the county. And that is something that the provider and the family work on together to complete. They would get the documentations as well. The documentation would include individual family service plans, individualized education plan for a child that's in school. Professional medical assessments would work. That would be accompanied with that form that's the DHS 4194, which we'll provide links to as well. But they would work with the worker to apply for that assistance or that higher rate, special needs variance rate, and then it would come to us. So basically there's two of us here at DCYF, Department of Children and Family Services, that assess the special needs request and either approve or deny. And there are two assessors here, actually, because we have a checks and balance system. So nice. We need to make sure that we're all on the same page and in agreement as well. But it does start at the county level.
Okay. And can we go back to when you referred to the local CCAP agency that they're getting their seat? So there may be listeners out there who say, what's that?
So usually it is the county who administers the eligibility program for child care assistance. However, there are some tribes and there are other agencies that are subcontracted.
Okay.
So each family should go to the Minnesota assistance website. It's the government website. They should go to apply MN. They could Google that. And then they could plug in the county that they live in and they would be able to get the agency that would provide eligibility for that family.
That's super helpful. I'm so glad you mentioned that because I do think when someone is maybe new to the childcare field, you might get this information when you're learning about being licensed as a childcare provider and, or the family might hear about it. And there's about 1,000 other things that you're listening to at the same time. And you just kind of have a hard time filtering all that information. And
it's
so it's
lost. Yes.
Yes. Because there's a lot of details. So we talked about who can qualify and, this is interesting to me too, because, you know, even when you look at, when you're talking about a child who may require a higher level of care. So I love that you said there's two assessors to have that checks and balance, process, because what the definition of the higher level of care and all those details, how is that determined and how do you come to an assessment conclusion?
Sure. So once again, going back to the documentation that the providers and the families work with to submit with the county or the CCAP agency, along with the documentation that's from, like I said, the IEP or IFSP or the medical assessments, that form, the DHS form, allows a provider to write whatever they wish. How are you providing these extra care, these extra services? Do you have extra training? Do you have to employ extra staff? Can you take less children, right?
So sure.
If you have a child that needs, you know, almost one-on-one attention, but you can take 12 children, but you want to give that quality care and you want to make sure that that child's getting everything they need, you probably might only take 5 more.
Yeah.
They're not making their potential money, the rate that they could be making with the full class or a full center. They do incur costs for that. So then they have to buy medical equipment as well. Special cleaning equipment for kids with lowered immune systems. So there's a lot of things that involve. So those things can all contribute to getting approved for a special needs rate.
Okay. Do you have things that, you know, I know you've been doing this for a while and are there things that come up that you go, yeah, this is a pretty typical request. Like what would be a typical request that would come in that portion where the provider writes about it?
Sure. So if a child has is nonverbal or has special toiletry needs, needs assistance while eating, a lot of those times, then we see a high rate of approval, and we do tend to approve those. But there are 3 levels. A formula. So the two assessors at the state, we use that tool to calculate. We go through and we have a rubric that we score each of the areas of development, how much the provider is needing to provide beyond a typical child's needs. So there's a calculation and the process can take up to 30 days because it is pretty detailed and we want to be very, very accurate.
That's for sure. I would guess so. And you mentioned training. So if someone needs this is the exciting opportunity for those out there who are licensed for childcare to be able to say, yeah, what this family comes to me with their child who has some unique learning needs, and I'm going to do my best to provide quality care. And in order to do that, I do need some training. I need some professional development because I haven't ever cared for a child that has these same needs. And so that's something that can also be, would that be like ongoing training that would be necessary that they'd have to justify, or could it be a one-time thing, or how does that work?
It can be a one-time thing. It can be ongoing. But we do also, not only we can pay that higher rate, the special needs variance rate, to that provider ongoing, there's also some room for payment if they have, they take a training that costs money. It's not a free training. We may be able to pay for that. And that there's an option for that on that form requesting that. Also, if they need to purchase special items okay. as well. So training or anything, any other in expenses that incur due to the special needs child, we can certainly take a look at paying for as well. So, yep.
Do they have to have an itemized list of the items that they want to purchase? That's part of the application process?
It's not a formal part, but if they do request it, we'll reach out to them and request whatever we might need to confirm.
Yeah. And you said the family and the provider work on this process together.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
There's definitely family involved, you know, the whole picture. And then of course the worker helps with the technical portions and getting that form to us.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a lot of good support in the process. Definitely. So you don't have to feel like you're just navigating it on your own because, Absolutely. You know, possibly the family has never done it before and the provider's never done it before. And so to have that support from the worker, and then also any questions could be brought forward. And also, so if someone is denied maybe 1 year, can they come back and another year try again, or how does
Absolutely.
That work?
Absolutely. And they don't have to wait a whole year. If they're denied for some reason, like lack of documentation, or they didn't send an assessment, and we will send a denial to the county with the reason. Okay. And we also send information for them to pass on to the family and the providers, but they absolutely can reapply at any time. And you know, we are provider support specialists. We have a team of us here at the state to support providers. So I just want everybody to know they're not alone in this. Please reach out. You'll have our information, our contact information. We are in it together. So please feel free to reach out to us with any questions or concerns. But yes, absolutely.
That's wonderful to know that too. And I do think sometimes these processes can be very daunting, and then these supports that are available don't get used. And then, you know, it's just a sad kind of cycle. So the fact that there's so much support to create success for that early childhood provider who's really wanting to do what's best and also wanting to partner with the family. I love the fact that the family and the provider fill these things out together, because it just, that's really best practice, is to partner with the family when you're working with their small child, especially if there's some unique needs.
Oh, absolutely. And we know that the family, the caregiver, that is who is the most important, and the consistency between the two. So when we see the family working with the provider to request these services or the variants, they know what they're on the same page, and they realize what they need to support each other as well. Not just the child. I mean, it's a community. It takes all of us to work together to help that child get what they need.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And also the family has their insight of what they need, and the home setting perhaps that might be similar, but just a little different. And so they can bring that expertise to the educator, and the educator can look at their site, whether it's family childcare or center-based care, and say, oh, okay, so you use that for mealtimes. Huh. I wonder that might be really helpful for us to have that same type of thing for various reasons. It could be just providing consistency for that child to say, this is where you sit when you eat. And it's part of the essential pieces to their development, and that continuity and all of that.
Absolutely. Consistency is key. And once again, if they have the same equipment at home, the same type of environment in both places as closely as possible, and that's something that we would help with the cost for as well. But that just makes so much sense. And it does support the child. And like you said, consistency is key with their development.
Right. And it provides reassurance and calm for a child to see things that are familiar when they go to childcare. And then also tell us about the renew, like if they're approved, is it like a yearly thing that they have to go through and just keep upping every year? Or is it like a 5-year plan or?
Sure. Absolutely. So every year they will renew. We do not send renewal reminders. So it's really up to the family and the provider to work with their worker to get that. Okay. It's the same paperwork, the same exact paperwork, same form, nothing changes. We just know that it's a renewal when it comes in. And we compare the two. When it's a renewal, we'll compare, the assessors compare the two and see if there's any changes and what needs to be tweaked and or if it's pretty much status quo. But yes, every year they should renew. And it does, like I had mentioned earlier, it takes about 30 days to process. So they want to make sure they get it in so there's no gaps in eligibility or that special needs rate variance. So that makes a difference too when they're getting it in. So, but once again, if they have questions, they can reach out as well.
That's great. And put that important date on their calendar ahead of time. So they just know it's coming up. We got to get working on that paperwork. Exactly. So what are some really key reminders that you want to make sure everybody thinks through about this process?
Well, I guess to always remember, make sure that your forms are completed as much as possible. And make sure that all those I's are dotted and T's are crossed. Make sure you have documentation. And that documentation that I was referring to before, the individualized service plan or the professional medical assessments, such as those things, they should be not more than 2 years old.
Okay.
So you want to make sure that they're pretty current. So I would say about 2 years old would be the limit to those. Just make sure that all the contact information is on there in case we have any questions. If you do submit anything as far as extra payment for training or for equipment that you purchased, you might want to check with us first before you pay or before you buy that equipment to make sure that it's within budget and that we can help reimburse. Because it's not a promise, it's a request. So, so just that's a reminder for everybody. And also that, you know, all of us providing any service to public or privately, we need to adhere to the Americans with Disability Act, the ADA Act.
Yes.
So, and there's and we also have information about that on the tip sheet that I think we are going to share with you and your agency.
Yes.
And our readers. So.
Yeah, we're going to link to all of these great resources and tools that Lene has noted in this conversation. And also on our website, we have a lot of great information for childcare related to the ADA. And you can always go to ada.gov and click on child, you know, you put in the search childcare and lots of great helpful information comes up there too. So that's something that we do as well at the Center for Inclusive Childcare, helping educators out there serving young children to understand the ADA and the expectations and the rights of all children to have accessible and quality care. So I appreciate that you brought that up. Yeah. So I appreciate our time together. Thank you so much, Lene, for being here and for sharing all of this really important information about how beautifully our state supports educators in the childcare setting and families and children that have unique needs through the Child Care Assistance Special Needs Rate.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Priscilla, for having me today and letting us share.
In the description of the podcast, when you find it on our website, there will be these links, and you can go to inclusivechildcare.org to find out more information about this and other podcast topics and tip sheets, and also self-study courses, videos, all sorts of resources that are available to you free there on our website, inclusivechildcare.org. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to our next time together. For more information and a wide range of resources, visit inclusivechildcare.org. You'll find information on our coaching services and support on topics such as healthy child development, strategies for encouraging positive behavior, and guidance on including children with unique social, emotional, and learning needs, and much more.